We want to thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to be reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I should tell you the purpose of my discussion today would be regarding camp at Pretty Valley Bible Camp. Give you a little bit of a report and just maybe share some things that we went through that we found were very beneficial. Very, very beneficial. So 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the first part of verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I'm going to read that one more time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That verse really hit me when we were doing it in our Bible reading downstairs last year. And I've been thinking about it ever since. The idea of power, or the courage and the confidence to get the job done. Love, the relational ingredient that enables us to attract and connect with others, and the sound mind, or the perspective and the wisdom to grasp a vision and take the right steps. And I'm going to apply those principles to some of the things that happened. I have three short little stories for you. I'll share the first one with you. It was the most difficult one. It was a very difficult one. And if I say anything that would, I hope not to offend anyone, but if anyone is offended, and I don't mean anything personally by this, I'm sharing this with you because I've looked in the mirror. They say if you point a finger, there's three pointing back. I've looked in the mirror at least a dozen times over what I'm going to tell you. So with all honesty and sincerity, I share this with you. But as a camp director, I have a responsibility to make sure that the camp is running accordingly. I have a responsibility to the people that are working with me. I have a responsibility to God, and I have a responsibility to the campers. And we did have a problem that needed straightening out. Without getting into the details, it was basically relational, and I would say that lies got mixed up in with truth, and that happened about a year ago, and I didn't realize the impact behind it. It probably wasn't that big a deal, but I didn't realize how many people that it affected. And I kind of knew early this year that a lot of the problem was that all the couples are getting married, all the couples are having babies, and everyone that's been coming to camp is now, they've got families of their own, and they're leading busy lives, and we surely understand that. It does make it difficult for me sometimes to think, well, who's going to be coming to help? But so we prayed. There's the sound mind, the perspective, and the wisdom. We prayed that help would be given, that the Lord would bring those people who had a sincere desire to help us at the camp this year, and not to say anything about all the people that were saying no to us, because we certainly understand the circumstances. But when you pray something like that, the Lord hears that prayer and He works. Much oftentimes to against the way that I'm thinking, and so we're only a couple months away from camp, and Now we're still wondering. We've got less than a handful of people coming to camp. I was talking to Edith about, and I said, "Well, it's certainly a good thing that your daughter and their children are coming to give us a hand." And she kind of swallowed and said, "Well, I don't think they're coming this year." And it was just one of those years. There came a point in my own life where I was settled. I was settled, and I thought, the very first year we started camp, we had five 27 kids and five helpers, and the Lord helped us through, and I knew, and He had given me a peace and a confidence to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just trust me. And that's what I did. And you can ask my wife about that. But the love, I wanted to make sure that whatever happened last year was not going to happen again. And that's where I say that's my responsibility. It didn't really involve me directly, but it did involve me when I found out how it affected the people who were helping there. Some people said it just didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. There was something wrong. There was something wrong. People sensed it, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, and we're even if we don't know what's going on, we sense that there is something going wrong, and so. Without embarrassing anybody, I tried to apply the love ingredient in this, and I was prepared to say something about each person that was there as a volunteer, and I opted against it, just because of this exact same thing. It would be embarrassing. But basically, what I wanted to do was to be absolutely honest with everybody that was there. And value them. And I that was my intention. I hope that I achieved that from the way we got along. It just seemed to get the ball rolling. And girls camp was we had 23 girls, and it flowed beautifully. The weather was hot and sunny every day. It was just wonderful. Everything went without a hitch. Boys, there was 18 boys. It was definitely a lot more difficult, but the way each of the staff members related to one another was excellent, excellent. It was amazing. But the boys camp was extremely difficult. It rained every day except one day, which makes it very difficult for a bunch of boys who want to run out and go play. It was certainly a challenge for the cabin leaders, especially the new ones. When the boys they go out and play, they get their t-shirt dirty and stuff, so they go into the cabin, they change their t-shirt, and then they go back out and play in the rain. And then after the first night, everything they own is wet, and it really. The power aspect would be that I was prepared. I didn't have to, but I was prepared to stand my ground on certain issues, even if it meant hurting someone. And I think the Lord, see, people sometimes call it tough love. Again, just through prayer, I think that the steps that were taken last year resolved everything that went wrong. And that's excellent. That is amazing. That's fantastic. But we also have a responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen again, because it can so easily happen again. And you know, it made me think of the Lord Jesus, And when we want to be so polite to one another. We want everything just to go smoothly. But how many times did the Lord Jesus have to be confrontational to people? To the crowds, to the Pharisees. I mean, I don't even want to go to the Pharisees, but with his own disciples, he said, Thomas, why are you doubting? He had to address certain issues. There was a time when the disciples were upset, indignant over the sons of Zebedee, and he had to confront over his own family. He could say to his disciples, "Well, who are my family? Who are my family?" And I guess my point is sometimes we have to be confrontational. You know, we say that there are times when discipline is necessary, and we say that the thing about discipline is that the reason for discipline is always for restoration. It's always intended to be done in love with the purpose of restoration. Confrontation is the same thing. We have to settle if there is a matter, we have to resolve that matter. And if we agree to disagree, well then that's fine. But we have to at least talk about it. And if you can't talk about it, how do you resolve your differences? And that's just one story. Those are some of my thoughts that I'm going through. And one other thing I'd like to mention, and this is in the form of a question for myself, because when we came back from camp, I had quite a number this year of people ask me, Who was the speaker? Who was the speaker at the camp? And I have to say this in the form of a question, because in our circle of Christian friends and other assemblies, how many camps are there around? I can only think of one. And the speakers that I have had, with the exception of Wayne, I only knew about them because in my discussion with them, I found out that they used to speak for Canadian Sunday School Mission. And so once I found out, you know, I gladly, oh, wow, can you come? So I think, I guess what I'm, if somebody has any ideas, but I'm at a loss for who to ask. That's basically so I do it myself. And then during boys camp, all the males help out, and they take part, and they do a wonderful job. It gets the children closer to their cabin leaders, those that are speaking, and I think it also builds up the young men at the camp in their own spiritual lives. I want to tell you about a boy. And his name is Quinn. He's 11 years old. He's probably been to the camp three or four years. When I asked him, he told me that he was saved 2 years ago. And in the last year, recently, he's had many changes in his family life. I think he was an only son. He might have had a sister. But his auntie died this past year, and so another his mother took in her sister's children, and so now he's sharing his whole life. He's sharing his mother with these other boys. I can't remember if there's two. I know there's two boys for sure, and I think there might be another one, but I'm not sure. But he has gone through a lot of things, and Mrs. Wood Connie knew a little bit more about him, and she kind of said he's going through kind of a tough time. And there was one night, I think it was Thursday night. That was when I had an opportunity to talk to him, and he told me he got saved. But he when we dismissed the afternoon chapel or the evening chapel service, we usually play a game about 5 or 10 minutes later or whenever I can get them together. And for some reason, all of the staff, I don't think there was anyone left out. I think it was all of the staff. Somehow, we just kind of stayed in our seats. And this boy, Quinn, he started grabbing songbooks. And he started talking to us like he was the song leader. And he was asking questions, and he started us on a song, and one song led to two, and another one was, and then he started to do and who knows the verse that goes with this song, just the same way that Andrew would have been doing it, and you know it was a very tender time. I wanted to stop it. Just because I thought enough was in my mind, I thought enough was enough, and we got this next activity to go. So we need to get going, or I need to get going to get this. And I felt the Lord prompting me to stop. Just let it continue, and it went on for quite some time. But this boy, he really. You could see it in his face. He really thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, the power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gave him the courage to start that. It kind of started horsing around, but I think. Like he really got into it, and he really thoroughly enjoyed it, and God gave him confidence to stand up and say something. The love aspect, he felt comfortable enough to trust us. He wasn't comfortable around his peers. He's actually quite a quiet boy, but how did I term it? We gave out trophies this year for the best camper of 2008, and he was the winner of the boys. He was just one of those boys who wanted to help out. He never got into any fights or any kind of confrontations with the boys. He was just one of those boys. But the sound mind. If I wonder if I had stopped him early. If I would have somehow stumbled him, because that's when I asked him. I said, are you saved? I said, he knows the verses. I says, are you saved? And he says, I got saved 2 years ago, but I've been having doubts this past year. And he said, but being here at camp, he says, I know for sure that I'm saved. And that was really nice to hear. That was really nice to hear. He's a good little boy. Just maybe a little note about the camp. His mother and his auntie both came to camp. The camp celebrated the 50th anniversary this year, since it began by those two ladies, and it was interesting when we asked, especially girls' camp, when we asked. How many of your parents or relatives or had been to camp? I think almost 70% of them had raised up their hands, and those are the ones that come to camp. Most of them, again, especially girls' camp, are from the Sapateauiac First Nations, you can just see from their parents when their parents bring them, which was another thing for me this year that I wasn't going to mention, but I really felt that last year and previous years I haven't been spending the time with the children that I needed to, that I felt the Lord wanted me to. And so I think by supplying the manpower that He did, even though I had intentions of doing just that, I was forced into that position of spending time with the kids. And I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think the kids did as well. But you can see the appreciation in the parents as well, and not just the fact that it's a free camp. I think it's the fact that their memories of the camp, their memories of how the ladies and the staff treated them, and the verses, and I know that the verses that they learn, they stick with them for years and years and years. They may not be saved, but seeds were planted, and they just they thoroughly have an appreciation, and they want their children to experience that. If there was one story that was kind of on the negative side, and yet even though she said that whatever had happened, she still wanted her children to come here, and that just spoke volumes to me, not only about the camp but of the Lord, that oftentimes we fear that we're going to get a cold response, or we sometimes just expect a cold response, and maybe even sometimes we get a cold response. But I think deep down, people really, really do appreciate the Word of God. They do appreciate God. They want to, but for some reason they just don't feel comfortable. They just don't feel. They don't want to open up, and you know, in the same way, that's what Quinn does around his friends. He's more the quiet type, and he didn't come out of his shell until he felt comfortable, and there was just those people that were there that he was comfortable with, and he just shined. So God gave him the confidence to initiate. It was the love aspect that made him feel comfortable enough to trust us. And the sound mind, again, I don't know what would have happened if I'd have stopped him, or if I'd have just walked out and gone about my own business. And you know, I know that sometimes we wonder why people are silent. We wonder why, and honestly, we all have our own reasons. We all have our own reasons, but there is nothing. I even think of that verse. I'm going to quote it wrong, but it just popped into my head. There, it's in the book of Proverbs, and it's in reference to your enemy. If the gist of it is if you show your enemy love, that's the hardest thing on him. He'll almost hate you for it, because it'll also melt his heart. It'll also melt his heart, and that's we need to love one another. We need to love our enemies, and this was just something that I felt was an example of that. The other story I want to share with you, I know time is going by, just quickly, and this is also something to pray for. We had a number of helpers out that were in their teenage years. In particular, Josh and Alan. There were a couple others, but in particular, Josh and Alan. We've been praying for them for quite some time. And I know that many of you have over the years have taken interest in them with Boys Club and other things. My own thought was I was a little concerned about them this year. Last year they just shined, and I was expecting the same this year, and they weren't quite as shiny, I felt, but maybe my own expectations of them were higher than what was to be expected. But they did really well, and but the thing about it was there were opportunities for a lot of the staff, Lauren and Connie, Carolyn, various people had many conversations with Josh and Ellen, and I wonder if because it was such a small group, a lot of the conversation took place on the weekend when there was only four or five people in the whole camp, but excellent conversations. They are two boys who are really, really asking a lot of questions. Questions about how their lifestyle will change if they get saved. How I don't even know how to explain it. But please pray for them. There's Josh, there's Alan, there's Nikita, and there's Candy that all came to camp. And those of you that have been in Teen Truth, you know who those girls are, and their family life, their neighbors, around here, their high schools, the gangs want them, there's a lot of the enemy out for them right now. They're at that prime age, 15, 16. And they really need our prayer and our support. So do pray for them. They have remarkable opportunities as well. I believe Ellen is in BC right now with a Canadian wide basketball tournament or something like that. So there really are a lot of distractions for them. So please do pray for them. And I'm just going to read that again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, as I said, the camp has been going on for 50 years, and likely, if the Lord doesn't come, it can go on for another 50 years. Do pray for the camp. Again, I was being sincere when I asked if anybody has any ideas for speakers. I'm more than welcome to hearing. And if we can apply some of these principles to our own lives and just think, well, if I put myself in that position, you know, how do I react? I heard it. I never checked it for sure, but I know the phrase particular in 1 Corinthians 11 says, but let a man examine himself. And again, that's what I meant when I say I've been looking in the mirror at least a dozen times and likely more. But if we can examine ourselves and we look at somebody else. Again, I think one of the key things is about being honest about one another and value each other. I think that's where it really made a difference. Maybe, and again, sometimes we, you know, things have to get done. We do need to be stern, and sometimes we can look at that the wrong way and think whatever we want to think. But if we continue to value each other, and again, if you're just talk, that's what I believe that the Lord Jesus shows in by his example while he was here, and again, that all this is all because of him. Let's just close in prayer.